far more outstanding in Salahuddin than any of his military victories and conquests is his towering spirituality and prominence as a man of Iman. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimahullah registers the secret behind Salahuddin's astounding victory that dazzled the world as one of faith. The secret, he says, was that he was a believing Muslim, a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who knew nothing but the language of Quran, the language of Iman, and the language of Jannah. Underpinning his actions was the correct aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which he took a keen interest in and taught to his children.
The one who studies history will find that Sayyidina Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi was the one who commanded for the writing of a book by Imam Qutbuddin al-Shirazi rahmatullahi, and it was commanded that every child in the Muslim lands and every military person inside the Muslim lands and every youth inside the Muslim land would read this aqidah. It was the aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which matches the aqidah of the vast majority of the Muslims in this world at this time.
He upheld all the pillars of Islam and was meticulous in performing his salah in jama'ah in all conditions. Likewise, he was consistent with his nawafil. Salah was his source of strength and a refuge in times of uncertainty. Chroniclers mention his sincerity in prayer and describe how tears would fall onto his grey beard and prayer mat during salah.
And Salahuddin wasn't just a warrior. Ibn Shaddad mentions, and he accompanied Salahuddin for years. He says, Salahuddin for years never missed salah with Jamaat. He didn't live next to the Jami' Masjid. He didn't live in a palace. He lived on a tent in the battlefield. For years he never missed salah with Jamaat. One day before the battle, one night before the battle, he was inspecting his men. And tahajjud time, they were sleeping. And the definition of the Sahaba was what? They were men who would pray at night and be on their horsebacks during the day. And at tahajjud time, these people were sleeping. And Salahuddin said, wake up, wake up. For you people will make us lose the battle. Because he wanted his men to be like the Sahaba. And we can't wake up for Fajr. And we talk about victory. We can't, when we see the suffering of our Muslim brothers and sisters, we can't put our hands in our pockets. And we can't even give our zakat, and we're talking about victory. When it's Hajj time, we're not ready yet. But we want Allah to be ready to assist us. Since when did you become Allah and Allah become your servant? It is the servants who have to fulfill the condition.
Likewise, an intuitive reaction from Salahuddin on winning any battle would be to fall into sujood.
Because they realized that without dua, nothing would happen. Without Allah being on their side, there was no point in all of the army and the weapons that they had.
Due to sickness at one stage, Salahuddin had missed several fasts of Ramadan. He was meticulous in keeping track of his qadha and made up for them all before his demise, in spite of the difficulty involved. He loved to listen to the Qur'an and appointed good qurra as his imams. When he would hear Qur'an, his heart melted and tears ran down his cheeks. Once he passed by a child who was reciting the Qur'an to his father and was touched by the recitation. He called for the boy and gave him some special food. He also ordered that the father and son be endowed with a stipend from a particular waqf. Salahuddin also personally recited the Qur'an often and engaged in a lot of dhikr. He was a great lover of hadith. Whenever he heard of a sheikh who narrated hadith, he would go to him and summon others to listen to him. In 577 Hijri, he specially attended the dars of Sheikh Abu Tahir ibn Auf in Alexandria, along with his sons and senior commanders, to hear the Muwatta of Imam Malik. On one occasion, Salahuddin even had the ahadith recited between the lines of battle for barakah.
They described him, he was someone who loved the sama' al-hadith, the hearing of hadith. And he would command his kids, whenever hadith were narrated, to sit and to listen to the hearing of hadith. You had sama'at. Sama'at were public listenings of kutub al-hadith, or books of fada'il or hadith. And people would gather in like orchards or in masajid or in homes, and they would listen to hadith. They would just listen to hadith for the barakah, for the blessing of the listening of the hadith. He was described as someone who was raqiq al-qalb, sari al-dama inda sama' al-hadith. He had a soft heart, and he would cry often when hadith were narrated.
He was never aloof or haughty, and was always accessible to his subjects. Every Monday and Thursday, he would sit to administer justice between disputants. He never turned away anyone who came seeking a judgment. Where needed, he even personally stood before judges to defend himself. His generosity was legendary. Salahuddin distributed all the treasures of the Fatimid palaces and kept nothing for himself. He was forever uneasy until items in his treasury were distributed. Sometimes he gave away entire provinces. If he saw an old man, he would give him something. Whenever an orphan was brought before him, he would treat him kindly and ensure that he was being looked after. It was estimated that Salahuddin gave away some 12,000 horses in the way of Allah. Whenever he hosted any guests, he ensured that they never left his presence without a gift or token of recognition. In particular, Salahuddin would resort to charity at times of sickness and difficulty to ward off calamities.
Ibn Murrah mentioned, he said, "I swear by Allah, if Salahuddin had been given the entire dunya to spend in the path of Allah, it would have not been enough for him. His treasurers would never tell him how much they had in the treasury, because he would spend it all. In times of affluence and difficulty, he would spend the same." It is recorded by Jabir radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said no to somebody who asked him for something. And the historians mention that Salahuddin rahmatullah alayhi never in his life did he turn away a beggar. They mention that never in his life, listen to this, never in his life did he ride a horse, but he had already promised to give it to somebody else. And Ibn Shaddad was the closest man to Salahuddin rahmatullah alayh. He was the biographer of Salahuddin. The day Salahuddin rahmatullah alayh passed away was the day that he finished the biography of Salahuddin. He mentioned that one day I was traveling with Salahuddin, and Salahuddin turned to me and he said, "Oh Ibn Shaddad, there are people in the dunya to whom dust and wealth is the same." And Ibn Shaddad said, "I knew that he was speaking about himself, because he didn't care about the dunya. The palace that Adid left behind him, there was nothing like it in the world. It had 4,000 rooms, 12,000 occupants, and besides his direct family, all the occupants were women. And Salahuddin refused to move in it. He divided it amongst his men. He refused to move in it."
Salahuddin always honored and respected the ulama. He was of sociable disposition and delightful to talk to. One would learn unique things from his conversation. He ensured that no one was spoken badly about in his presence. Salahuddin had his tongue under perfect control. He never gave way to abusive language. He would also control his pen and never made use of hurtful words in writing to a Muslim. He was most strict in the fulfillment of promises. He was most forbearing, and on multiple occasions concealed news of deaths in his family so as not to show weakness before his soldiers. He did not rebuke servants and associates for minor mistakes committed that could annoy him.
Karen Armstrong, who is one of the scholars who has written on Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, she states that Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was merciful to a fault. You know, when you are merciful to a fault, You know, when your mercy starts to hurt you, basically. When you start to be so merciful to people, they start to hurt you. He was like that. He was so merciful.
He set a good example for his followers. He would start the task himself and call others to follow his lead, as he did carrying stones on his shoulders when building the walls of Jerusalem. He would don ordinary clothing, eat coarse food, and mix with people in humility. Anyone who sat with him would not feel that they were sitting with a sultan due to his humility. Salahuddin's piety did not render him aloof. Rather, he was a most balanced individual. He was an athletic man who loved horsemanship and ball games and encouraged others to engage in them too. He would ride to watch ball games and polo after Dhuhr accompanied by his men. He would also take part in these games with his inner circle. Hunting and fishing were also among his beloved pastimes. Salahuddin despised promiscuity and immorality, and under his leadership abolished immoral activities and restored an innocent and clean life. Salahuddin's adherence to the Sharia was so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless him with almost all of his military victories on the day of Jum'ah.
And literally every single victory of Salahuddin would take place on Friday, Jum'ah time. Why? Because Salahuddin would attack when the Imam is standing on the member and saying, "Oh Allah, help the Mujahideen." And everybody in the congregation is saying, "Ameen." Literally every single one.
His chief advisor, Qadi al-Fadl, would say that kings fight motivated by ambition, but Salahuddin fought because he was motivated by faith. Glancing at Salahuddin's heart, one will find no trust except in Allah and no reliance on any power except Allah. This is why victory for him was inevitable. This is what attracted the mercies of Allah. This is what made Salahuddin so great.